Thank you. At this time, I would like to inform all parties that the call is now being recorded. You may go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. And remember, it's being transcribed as well, so remember to identify yourself when you talk. And if you're using a speakerphone, remember to use the handset when you're doing that to make it easier for everybody to hear. Any changes to the agenda, any additions, questions, anything?
I just want to announce I've joined. It's Marilyn Cade.
Thanks, Marilyn. I appreciate you letting me know because I'm not looking at my meeting thing right at the moment. I'm looking at the agenda instead. And I have so many files open on my laptop that I have to switch around several places. So, okay. Agenda's okay. Remember, always, if you have any updates to statements of interest, to send those to the list. I want to next talk about the meeting next week, the May 3rd meeting. As you recall from last week's meeting, I will not be able to chair that one. In fact, I won't even be able to participate because I will be in a live board meeting that I'm a part of and can't change. So Marilyn has kindly volunteered to fill in the role as chair. The primary objective in that meeting will be as follows, and you can see it on the agenda if you have it in front of you. To review the recommendations under consideration by each subgroup. You may not be totally finalized by them, but you should be getting pretty close, enough to at least give the full group an idea. Enough so that you can get feedback from the full working group next week and thereby see what final tweaks you need to make to your recommendations, because we will only have 1 week after that to not only finalize the subgroup reports, but then to finalize our working group report and get it approved on the 10th. So again, as I said in an email, please don't think that you can just keep working until the 10th. That's not quite true. In fact, my suggestion, and we can talk about this, but my suggestion is that the subgroup report should be done not later than the 8th and distributed to the full list so people have a couple days to review them and even provide feedback via email before our final meeting, because in our final meeting, that's it. We've got to, you know, approve the final recommendations and give Liz everything she needs to be able to not only finish our working group, the full working group report, which will include all the subgroup reports, but also then she's got to shortly after that incorporate our recommendations into the new TLD report. And as you can tell by looking at the template, that the template's kind of designed with that purpose in mind. Any questions on that? Now, Marilyn, I'm available just for you and I. I know you requested that you and I talk maybe after this meeting, and that should work fine for me. In fact, if you'll email me a good time after this call, I can be pretty flexible. And I do have, I don't have too many conflicts I can't adjust tomorrow, so if you can send me a time, I can give you a call, or if you want to call me, whatever works best, just let me know, and you and I can talk further.
Sure, and just then we can get the agenda agreed before you, so that's out for people, and people have...
Yeah. I won't have that probably by, well, I probably will have, could have that by tomorrow. I don't know that I'll, I might get it done today. We'll see, because I think it's pretty clear what needs to be done next week, and that's what I was talking about at a high level, but and you'll see that it'll kind of pattern what we do today.
Good.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else on the meeting next week? Again, let me. I'll say this later too. But thanks for all of the hard work going on. I try to watch some of it. I can't watch everything or participate in every call, but I'm really pleased with what I see going on. You guys are really working hard, and thanks especially to the chairs who are taking the leadership role there.
Chuck, it's Caroline here.
Yes.
And just to jump in and say that the interim meeting is actually taking place next week. I'm not sure what my schedule will be like, and it may affect some of the other members of the group as well, but there may be a reduced participation because of that.
Yeah, I understand. If you're impacted that way, please make sure that when you do have spare time that you contribute via the list, because, again, we only have 1 week after the 3rd to finish everything, so it's going to be really important. If you do have to miss next week's call, like me, keep your subgroup informed of where you're at on things, respond as quickly as possible, and that'll make it a lot easier on the chairs and the rest of us as we wrap up this 30-day extension. Thanks for bringing that up, Caroline. Okay, the next thing, and this is an addition to the agenda that I sent out, that I added today. One of the things that the council suggested we have in Lisbon that wasn't in our working group report first time around was some sort of a definition of reserved names. And in my own interpretation of that, and I welcome comments on that, I don't think they were so much looking for a formal definition of reserved names as they were a make sure that everyone understands what the focus is of the reserve names working group. And of course that impacted some of the categories that we dealt with first time around. So I sent that around on this past Friday. It's not very long. Hopefully everybody had a chance to look at that. But I did want to provide opportunity for feedback on that right now, and if there is none, we can Liz and I can use that then to incorporate into the full working group report. Are there any? I can go through it briefly if people want me to. Want to do that unless it's of value.
So could you? It's Marilyn. I actually am not online, and it is important. I think we had previously discussed the idea, some ideas about it. Maybe you could just go through it very quickly.
Yeah, it's short enough that I think what I'll do is read it, because it's just one page, a little bit less than a page. And I title it Definition of Reserve Names, but I confess that it's not really a formal definition, but I do believe that it satisfies what was requested by the council. It goes as follows. For the purpose of developing recommendations that are readily usable in the GNSO new GTLD PDP report, and in response to direction received from the GNSO Council in Lisbon, the Reserve Name Working Group focused attention in its final recommendations only on reserve name requirements that apply to all new GTLDs for which clear requirements could be defined. Depending on the specific reserve name category as well as the type, ASCII or IDN, the reserve name requirements recommended may apply in any one or more of the following levels as indicated. Number one, at the top level regarding GTLD string restrictions. Number two, at the second level as contractual conditions. And number three, at the third level as contractual conditions for any new GTLDs that offer domain name registrations at the third level. Now let me stop. That's the first paragraph. And let me stop and see if there are any questions or comments on that.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
It's Marilyn. I don't want to get into a big philosophical discussion, but did the council indicate whether they were thinking that the reserve name definition might be applied at the time of renewal of existing GTLDs?
That was not discussed.
Okay. Then I'm not questioning the language, and I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, good. Okay, thanks. Anybody else on the first paragraph? Okay. Then it goes on. Therefore, the final RN working group reserve name recommendations fall into the following categories. ICANN IANA names, single and two-character names, including the use of symbols, tag names, NIC, who is, and www, and then the fifth category is GTLD names at the second level or third level if applicable. Now, let me continue on that one. In its work, the RN working group also focused on the following categories of names: geographical and geopolitical names, specific names reserved by particular GTLD registries at the second and third level, and controversial names. In the case of the second category, that's the specific names for GTLD registries, The list of registry-specific names were unique to particular GTLD registries than to all GTLDs, and thus did not fit the focus of the group. In the case of geographical, geopolitical names and controversial names, it was very difficult, if not impossible, to define clear reservation requirements that could be applied to for all new GTLDs. At the same time, the work completed by the group seemed to be very applicable to the process developed as part of the new GTLD PDP. So, recommendations are included in this report for consideration as part of those processes. And that's the end of the statement. Any questions or comments? Hopefully that's consistent with what we've talked about so far during this extended time. Okay? All right. Now, if I don't hear anything via email on this, and some of you may want to look at the hard copy if you haven't already done so, by tomorrow I'll probably assume that this is fine and Liz and I can incorporate it into the final report. Okay. Back to the agenda then. Now, the reason I put that where I did in the agenda today is as I was doing, as you know, I have some tasks of dealing with several of the categories that we didn't form a subgroup for, and as indicated early in this call, I sent out today a near-final version of the tag names report and what I believe is a final version of the Nick Who Is WWW report. Another task I have is to deal with symbols. As I was trying to do this in the format of the template, I was having trouble because I don't think it really fits the focus. The symbols is a fine recommendation. I have no problem with it, but I'm not sure it really fits the focus of our task with regard to a reserve name category, because obviously we're not talking about reserve names. We're talking about use of symbols in names, really whatever names you're talking about. So I wanted us to spend a few minutes talking about that and see if I'm wrong on that, and I may be. But it's my opinion that that particular recommendation would probably fall down as in a different category rather than recommendations for reserve names for new TLDs.
Chuck, it's Marilyn.
Go ahead.
I'm going to question that, but declare an interest. I advised a famous and well-known brand holder that uses a symbol in their name.
I wonder who that is.
That's called AT&T. and I have a question because, you know, symbols today in ASCII names, other than the dash, are not allowed. So I'm just asking the question, but I need to be clear that I have an interest, or potentially I have a client that has an interest in the treatment of symbols. Why the very strong advice we got from the technical community was that symbols need to stay on reserve.
I fully support that.
Okay. So that's what I wasn't... So you're not questioning the actual recommendation?
Not one iota. I think the recommendation is sound. I'm just not seeing it fitting into the recommendations with regard to reserve names.
Where would it fit?
Well, our report's going to be in three categories, including some like other reserve names that are not really... we're not really working on now, but we can put it in that category and say that the group does make this recommendation, even though it's not literally fit into the reserve name focus. I'm not saying we leave it out of the report.
Yeah, I don't, this may be something that you and I, if no one else is particularly interested in it, ought to spend some time thinking about and even talking about online, because I'm not yet in agreement, and it may just be because I don't understand how a different treatment would ensure that symbols stay on reserve, which I think is what the technical community is very concerned happens.
Please,
Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I would tend to want to leave it out because there's technical reasons for why those characters would not be allowed, but I don't think it necessarily fits into the logic of reserve names, of names which for some reason aren't being given. So, I mean, they're basically planning to not just not allow the characters at a much lower level.
So that's where I was struggling, Aubrey.
Right. It seems to me that there's a technical, you know, assumption that these are not useful and that the system will not accept them. And that's the end of it, that they're not actually reserved names, which are things that are technically possible but not to be done. They're setting the system up so that they're not even technically possible.
Can I join the queue, Chuck?
Sure, Alistair. Were you finished, Aubrey?
Yeah.
Did anybody else want to join the queue?
Edmund.
Okay. Go ahead, Alistair.
Chuck, I think we're talking about two types of issues here. I mean, symbols are potentially a reserved name if sort of one or two character, or in fact possibly more character at the top level. But then there's also the question of whether they should be allowed to occur within a name, such as ATNT. And so I think it seems to me that there are actually specific reserve name issues with symbols, because you could have just symbol names as a possibility. But also they are an issue if they're within a name. And it seems to me that certainly the single and two character group recommended against symbols just because they were potentially either a name or part of a name for those particular types of domains. But there is potentially, they also could be part of a name for longer length domain names as well.
Right, which really isn't our task, but I do understand your point with regard to, especially like single character names, it could fit to say that it would, you know, the recommendation could fit in the single two-character name, which is where you guys had it before. We singled it out because it was done and everything. I don't think it works as a separate subgroup report. I don't have anything to put in it, really, except for the recommendation and a couple other things. I went through the previous single, second, two-character name report, and there's just very little on that other than the recommendation. And I'm fully supportive of the recommendation, as I've already said. I just had struggled in terms of how to handle it. Now, one option, and I haven't forgotten you, Edmund, you're next. One option would be to again, make it part of the single two-character name subgroup report, and I'm not opposed to that, okay?
I don't think it's specific to single and two-character names. I mean, you could have exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark as a name.
I understand, and it applies, like you already said, in other ways to more than single or two-character names. But that's not our task to deal with what can be included in a domain name. Our task is reserved names.
Right. I guess the point I was making was, our conclusion with respect to single or two-character names, in terms of symbols, I think applies to longer length names that are at least symbol only.
Oh, it does. It does. That's just not our part of our statement of work.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Would you put me back in the queue? In drafting on the statement of work, I think I probably have a different view than you do on that. So
all right. Edmund's next.
Okay, I think it's sense to leave it out for a few reasons, and in terms of leaving it out, I'm not saying completely leaving it out, but maybe we can have some sort of a blanket statement about just general compliance with RFCs, or general compliance with technical standards. Another item, if we talk about symbols, then there are many other types of names that are essentially reserved. For example, names that starts with a hyphen, or names that ends with a hyphen. Potentially they can be entered actually into the DNS, but it's by technical standard sort of reservation that we don't allow it. So
right.
They're not that much different, you know, Well, they are a little bit different, but if we talk about it, then we might as well talk about names that start and end with hyphen as well.
Okay. Marilyn.
Sure. I'm just going to go back to the original purpose of our doing this work. We called it the Reserved Name Working Group. We were trying to work from what is prohibited by contract and what's prohibited by RFC and what's prohibited by a appendix that lists reserved names. It seems to me, in order to be responsive to the intent and this the treatment of symbols was on the original appendix, if you remember.
On what appendix?
The appendix 6, I think it is, that had single character symbols was...
I don't think so.
I thought symbols, Chuck, was treated as a character. So there's numbers, digits, letters, and symbols.
Well, let me let Patrick jump in on this as soon as I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Because he's been working on that, as you know. But
yeah.
I'm not aware of any reference to symbols or even a definition of what character means in Appendix 6.
No, I don't think there is a definition in Appendix 6. I just said I think we started out thinking that we needed to make some sort of disposition of all of the things that were on Appendix 6. So my question is more, one of the things I thought we wanted to do ultimately was have a simple, easy go-to place for new applicants so that they knew what was allowed and what wasn't allowed, and moved past the prohibited categories. So if we, what's the solution to providing information other than saying, here's a list of applicable RFCs, go read them for yourself?
Yeah, okay, I understand that. That's a good point. Patrick, could I ask you to jump in here and share your thoughts in this regard? Because I know you've been working lots of hours in as part of the subgroup on single and two character, and probably others in the subgroup as well, with regard to this whole issue of character, and in particular now as it relates to symbols.
Symbols are not in Appendix 6 or in the Registry Agreement appendices. I think where it comes in is from an RFC, and unfortunately I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think since it comes from the same place that the reservation of example comes from, that we probably should find a way to include it. And I don't have a problem with putting it back into the single and two character section, because we've pretty much already dealt with it. But I'll leave it to everybody else to decide if that's okay.
Okay. And I'm okay with that alternative, by the way. I don't think it works as a separate report, but I'm okay with doing that. And let me ask, first of all, ask Greg and other members of the single and two character subgroup, are any of you opposed to that approach?
It was originally there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. We pulled it out because of the way things happened. We don't need to worry too much about why that happened or how, but anybody opposed to that in the subgroup? Then let me open it up to everybody on the call. Is anybody opposed to that approach? And Aubrey, in your case, you had a minority statement in that regard already, and that would remain a part of that, as I understand it. So. Nobody opposed to that? Then, and Greg, you're okay with that?
I am fine with that.
Okay, let's do that. So if you guys then would just kind of make sure that's in your final report as a separate category, and let's handle it that way, and I'm okay with that. All right? Mike Palace, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
I see you're on. Now let me get back over to have the agenda in front of me. Thanks for the discussion on that. That was helpful, and it solved a problem that I ran into yesterday. That's why I added it. So now, I said this for those that were on the call early. I did send out this morning, my time anyway, this morning, a revised template for subgroup reports. Please use that one. It has some instructions at the beginning to try and help you. I think it's pretty clear. You're going to be able to cut and paste from the old report. I didn't include that in the instructions, but I'm sure everybody understands that, like the background information and so forth. With regard to the rationale for your recommendations, we need to do a little bit more than what was done for role. If you'll look at the two examples of reports that I sent out today, the tag names and the Nick who is in www, you'll see that I added some paragraphs in those sections because we really hadn't given enough rationale for all the recommendations. In cases like the single and two character where you have so many categories, be creative in terms so that it meets your needs with regard to how you give the rationale. You can create subsections or something. If you need my support on that, I doubt you will, but if you do, I'll be glad to help. But follow the format of the template, keeping fonts the same and everything, and that'll make it much easier for Liz when she pulls all these things together into a full working group report and then ultimately into the new TLD report. Any questions on that? Okay, then let's get to our main agenda item today, and that's to take a look at the subgroup report.
I was in mute, and I had one comment, but it takes so long to unmute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's just one. I am one of those who does not use Microsoft Word at all. I use OpenOffice, and there's a very strong list of do not do this, do not do that, do not change anything. I just wanted to list an apology up front that being an OpenOffice user, I cannot guarantee that I will follow and that I won't in some way change something in the document.
Okay, is it possible that someone else...
Deze oproep is onderbroken. Probeert u het later eens opnieuw. Het appel is er te horen.
Is it possible that someone in your working group could do the basic... final document preparation?
I wasn't planning on it. I was thinking that I was the stuckee for that, basically. But also, I sort of believe that, you know, I mean, I think it's all nice that we have these templates, and it's nice that we should do our utmost to make it as uniform and consistent as possible. But I just wanted to sort of indicate that isn't necessarily the case that there won't be some massaging.
Well, no, I appreciate.
And it's just the first page of it is so commanding that and so absolute that I felt it necessary to say, well, maybe I'll do my best, but you know.
Well, I would appreciate it if you would see if somebody else could do it who's a Microsoft user.
Well, if that's not possible,
we'll have to deal with it. But let me tell you that. That last week of our regular reserve names work was just horrendous for some of us.
In which case,
to try and
say
pull
something
things together.
About us committing to proprietary software that people would have to buy, and I'll suggest that everyone should be using OpenOffice and not Microsoft. But in any case.
Okay. All right. But anyway, one of the primary reasons is to make it real easy to... pull things together in the last, what it's going to amount to us, I think, the last 2 days. And that's going to be quite a challenge. So anything you can do to facilitate that will be appreciated.
Of course. One will try.
Thanks. All right. Let's go to the subgroup updates. And the first thing I want to do is go over, and I'll come back on each of these as for each subgroup, but you have it in your agenda there. The item 8A is update should include the following. So, and we'll go through these, and I'll guide you through them too. But we want to make sure that we understand what expert consultation has been initiated, to whom, when it was initiated, deadlines for responses, et cetera. We want to know whether the GAC principles have been referenced as applicable in the subgroup report. And I understand you haven't finished your subgroup report, but these are, Marilyn, this is what I was saying, is next week's exercise is going to be very similar. these same things because there are things we don't want to lose track of.
Right.
And then have IDN working group principles been referenced and addressed as applicable. We need a summary of the recommendations that are under consideration. You should be able to do that pretty completely next week. Today, do as much as you can, okay, because the sooner the group is able to give you feedback, the sooner we can work together on that. The goal, of course, is when we get down to that, to May 10th, that hopefully we've already really had enough input from the full working group that no major changes have to be made, because each subgroup will have received feedback from the full group progressively leading up to that point in time. And then like to know how close your subgroup is in reaching rough consensus on recommendations, areas where there is rough consensus, areas where there's disagreement. Don't need a lot of detail there, but just to give us a flavor for where we're at and maybe where the whole group can help.
Chuck?
Yes.
Do you have a proposed definition for rough consensus, or do you think it's unanimity?
Well, no, I don't think it's unanimity.
So my second question is, we had accommodated individual statements or minority statements. The term minority statements means one thing in one place. But we will continue to accommodate.
Yes, we will. In fact, you'll see in the new template that's addressed in there.
Thanks.
Okay. So that's in there. So that'll be the same. But basically, try as a group to reach a position that most, if not everybody, will support. If you can't do that and you come to a position where there are some minority statements, that's okay, and I'm sure there will be cases where that's true. But just like we said in our statement of work, Marilyn, that you and I worked on, that's the goal. It's not going to be achievable all the time, and certainly not for our group here as well. But again, alerting the full group where you think there are going to be areas of disagreement will be helpful for us, so we can get feedback from the broader group in sessions like these and the one you're going to chair next week. Even more important next week, because we need to have a reasonably good feel after the meeting next week that we're going in a direction that the full working group supports, even though final approval won't occur until the 10th. And then any input from the full working group, we want today not only to have a summary from the working group chair and others in the subgroups, but also we want to have opportunity today for people who aren't part of that group to share their thoughts, so that, again, you have that input early in the process instead of at the end. Not that we have to, spend huge amounts of time on that, but any thoughts people have that might help the working group, now's the time to give them, and even more so next week. Now, any questions on what we're looking for updates for each subgroup? Or any additions? Maybe I didn't cover enough. Then, I don't think, let me look real quick at my meeting thing. So we don't have the chair for Mike Rodenbaugh is apparently not on the call. Is someone else designated on ICANN IANA names, or should we move to another category?
Edmund is also listed as.
Yeah, he's on there. Edmund, are you
Edmund,
prepared to deal with that one?
Not quite, actually. I didn't see any activity there. So is it just between myself and Mike?
It's just you and Mike. Okay.
I guess if he doesn't start the discussion, I'll get the discussion started.
Right. I appreciate that. And it's important that we understand, if we get down to the end and we haven't really made any progress there, that our recommendation, per the council's guidance, is going to be status quo with a recommendation for additional work. So as long as everybody understands that in all cases, okay? All right, then let's go, Greg, to single and two-character reserve names.
Thanks. This is Greg, and I'll start, and I'm sure that my subgroup members will chime in where necessary to amplify, clarify, modify, and correct. We have, going through your framework for updating, we've had a very fruitful time so far. On Monday, we had an expert consultation via conference call with two experts, two technical experts, Steve Bellevin and Mark McFadden. We have, Marilyn has provided a first draft summary, which Mike Rodenbaugh is revising, of the expert consultation or the results from that meeting. I think one of the important things to take away from that for our subcommittee, for our working group, and for consideration of this, this may affect some other groups as well, is we can't look at what happens or what's reserved in at the TLD level and at the second level in the abstract. It really needs to be viewed in combination. In other words, depending upon what is happening or what is reserved or allowed at the top level, certain things may be possible at the second level. And if other things are prohibited or reserved at the first level, different things may be possible at the second level. In other words, certain combinations between first, top, and second level may cause problems, even if one would be okay if not in combination.
Greg, could you give an example?
Sure, and we did find examples are always very fruitful in talking about this. For instance, a single letter second level domain would not cause issues as long as the top level domain was not a single letter. If the top level domain was a single letter, it is likely that single letters at the second level would cause a problem, a technical problem, with certain application software. So that would affect our recommendation with regard to single letters at the second level.
Good. Yeah, and I noticed that in the notes that Marilyn prepared, too. So that's a really good realization.
I just have, this is Ray, I have a real quick question on that. So are you saying that in single characters, TLD.TLD could cause a technical problem?
If you're saying A.A.
Right.
A.A could cause a problem. A.com would not cause a technical problem, but A.A or A.X is likely to cause a technical problem.
Okay.
Whereas .A would not cause a problem unless if there were single letter, second level domains in that domain.
Okay, I only mention it because I know the RSTEP recently concluded that TLD.TLD does not cause a technical issue, but I don't know if they looked at it from the direction of single character, TLD.SingleCharacterTLD. That I don't know.
Right.
Now, Greg, if I understood the notes from Marilyn correctly, that like a 1.1 have some possible problems as well.
Yes, digits even and not limited to single digit combinations at both levels.
That's right. Yeah.
Were also likely to cause problems because certain software would attempt to identify it as an IP address and not a domain name.
This is Robert. Can I ask Ray a question on the last thing he said
about
what the RSTEP did? When the RSTEP was looking into that, now, I'll go and check it myself, were they looking at it based on RFC 1535 issues, or was that something else that prompted that? Because one of the things we had talked about was this was possible, a 1535 holdover, and therefore needed more investigation, but I'm wondering whether that's what the RSTEP was looking at the time.
I was going to say, Patrick also, who is very closely involved in the RSTEP process, is welcome to comment on this.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
So it was specifically the 1535 problem. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go back and look at that and see whether, because that might change the analysis we had somewhat. Good, thanks.
Good. And this is, by the way, guys, I want everybody to feel free to participate on this because whether you're in the subgroup or not, because this is the kind of thing that helps the working group in terms of reaching their final recommendations and so forth, okay? Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you. And we are also in the process of lining up IDN experts as well as to deal with the, you know, IDN issues in our bailiwick.
Who are you thinking of there?
I have no names in front of me.
But it was the usual suspects.
Yes.
Usual suspects, okay. I know those usual suspects pretty well.
I think we had, Greg, we had previously talked about Carrie, Tina, and Ram, I think.
Yes, that's right. Ram Mohan. And
that usual suspects.
That's fine. I just was curious. Okay.
Yes, no unusual suspects, although.
There are a few of those around, too.
That might be fun.
Okay, go ahead.
We will be referencing GAC principles in the subgroup report and IDN recommendations, addressing those as applicable.
Keep in mind, and I won't repeat this for every one of the subgroups, but keep in mind that it doesn't mean that we have to follow every GAC principle. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't. And it doesn't mean that we have to follow every recommendation by the IDN committee or working group, but we should at least address the issues, and if we don't, provide some rationale as to why we didn't. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Thank you. A summary of recommendations under consideration. We are going to provide a working definition of character, so that our recommendations around single and two-character names can be put into a context, or at least a defined context. With regard to single and two-character IDNs, I think that's still under work. Work is still underway on that. Single ASCII letters at the top level domain. As mentioned before, our recommendation is that these could be released at the top if there is an appropriate methodology, either technically or by enforcement, that single letters could be prohibited at the second level or reserved completely at the second level in such a top-level domain.
So let me pursue that a little bit further, and if you're going to get to it, just let me know.
Sure.
So if I'm speeding up too far. It sounds like you could go either way there. You could allow it at the top level, provided there are restrictions at the second level. It could be done the other way as well, right? Disallow it at the top level and allow it at the second level. Is my thinking correct there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's either or. So if we get to, as we get to the recommendation of single letters at the second level, there is note that there could be technical problems in releasing those in single letter TLDs.
So you could actually have a first come, first serve. If the second level occurred first, then the top level is restricted, or vice versa.
Right, although I would presume that one would establish a top level through the registry.
Agreed.
Yeah. I haven't yet found a way to reserve or register a domain name in a domain that doesn't exist yet, but
yeah,
I'm sure somebody will find it.
Okay.
And find a way to make money out of it. So where there are single letters, we need to, at the second level, we do need to see how that will resolve. Single ASCII letters and numbers at the second level. Again, we find that there, you know, don't agree, we would recommend releasing those subject to, or at least in TLDs of more than one character. But indicating that there could be technical issues if there is a single character TLD.
Okay.
For single and two character ASCII numbers, .11 or .1 or .19 at the top level, our recommendation is to continue the reserved status.
And that's because of the, is that related to IP numbers?
Yes. For two ASCII letter number combinations, .1M or .M1 for instance, at the top level. There's still some more work we need to clarify with our technical experts, whether it matters whether the digit comes first or second, and whether the rule, whether one would cause a technical issue and the other one may not. For two ASCII letters at the top, while there's still some continued discussion in the group at this point, the rough consensus, subject perhaps to at least a minority view, would be to maintain the reservation based on the ISO 3166 list, which generates the CCTLDs, since those are the country codes established by ISO.
Now, do you mean by that that it would only be reserved for the ISO 3166-1 list, or would all two-letter names be reserved?
I think we need to further clarify that within the group, although I think there is at least some support, maybe even most support, for a complete reservation, because new countries are introduced, and then you will have to, you know, worry about the issue of how do you undo a GTLD that is a two-letter, let's say, .xy, and then all of a sudden Zigistan comes to exist, and they should be assigned .xy. Or does one, we may need to consult, God forbid, with ISO, since country codes aren't necessarily, you know, absolute in the sense that there's not only one possible country code for a country, and some of the country codes are not as intuitive as others already. And therefore, even if .xy was already a GTLD, perhaps something else could be found for this mythical Zigistan if it becomes an actual country.
And we know what the GAC wants and what the CCTLD community wants in this regard. That's pretty clear. So we obviously want to be sensitive to the political realities there. But if you need to contact with ISO, and I don't know that she's the best person or not, but I think she would be one who is responsive because she's been so heavily involved in the GNSO and DNSO in the past, and that's Elizabeth Portanos, who's now doing work for the...
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. So I just throw that out as a person who probably you could, if nothing else, she would get you in touch with the right people and probably be more responsive than just somebody who didn't know us.
Right. Can I get in the queue on this?
Go ahead, jump in.
I'm not really sure we need to do that. I'm pretty sure that from what the working group did, before Lisbon, that this category was pretty much completed, and that our recommendation hasn't changed any.
If that's the case, I think you're absolutely right, Patrick, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that. I just wanted to throw that out in case, it's up to the working group whether they decide they need to do anything
right
there or not.
Yeah, I want to balance not reopening Pandora's box with just making sure that the working group as a whole is happy, or at least the subgroup is kind of happy with the process by which we maintain that as well. So just being a kind of liberal guy that I am.
Okay, thanks.
finally, we have two ASCII letters and numbers at the second level. And our rough consensus recommendation at this point would be to allow registries to release them, provided there are measures to avoid confusion with existing CCTLDs. So that, for instance, EU.com could be an issue. So that this is any combination
although
of...
the CCTLDs do it all the time.
Right. We only recommend that there be measures to avoid confusion, nothing more prohibitive than that.
With Greg, with regard to IDN, the IDN issues that you're going to be dealing with, and I understand that you've got a lot of work to do there. I encourage the working group to keep in mind several of the IDN working group recommendations. One of them, and I don't have I may have them in front of me, but somewhere on my laptop. But anyway. You know, they're real. Obviously, the IDN working group was really concerned about giving an advantage to ASCII TLDs over IDN TLDs. So, keep that in mind, as well as some of the recommendations that weren't necessarily strongly supported but had some support, also had to do with whether or not ASCII TLDs could be introduced before IDN. And again, if you do that, you have to, you know, measures should be taken so that it doesn't give the ASCII people the advantage and so forth. I just throw this out, not for discussion right now, but it's important because of the issues you guys are going to be dealing with both ASCII and IDN, single character, two character, and you may not even relate to IDN in that way, but keep those recommendations in mind when you're doing your deliberation. Does that make sense?
If you could just clarify a little bit more how...
Yeah, without, let's see, is this...
Without boring too many people.
I'm trying to think, yeah. Well...
How the ASCII would have an advantage over the IDN.
Well, for example, and this may not be a good example for your group, but let's say that single character ASCII names were allowed at the top level, but we decided to wait on single character, whatever that means, for IDNs or IDNs in some scripts or whatever. Then the ASCII, somebody could propose a single character ASCII top level domain, a corresponding equivalent in some IDN script would essentially be blocked because that's going to create probably confusion later on. Now, that may not be a good example for you because you may recommend something totally different for IDN single characters. So, but all I'm saying is there aren't very many recommendations, and they're pretty brief in the IDN working group report. There's probably two or three, and if you would like me to specifically highlight those for you, just send me an email, and I will do that.
That would be very helpful.
Okay, so
you'll sure take
that.
Those.
Okay.
If you could, I want to make sure
I'll write
we take those into
note
account.
So I don't forget, okay?
Yes, I'll let you know as well.
Okay, good. That'll be great.
So that covers our draft recommendations as we're looking at them at this point.
Now, how close are you? Well, let me back up a step first, and Marilyn, I'll include this in next week's agenda because it's going to be important.
Okay.
You already did it in your discussion, Greg, some of the comments you made I was very pleased to hear. But any cases where you can use examples to illustrate what you're talking about was really strongly encouraged in Lisbon. So just like you did when Marilyn asked the question and you provided some examples, the more you can do that, the better. And with regard to the template that you're using, I think the examples can go right as part of in the recommendation box in the table. That's what I'm going to do in the case of tag names.
Yes, we considered the same thing on our call and adding a column to the recommendation summaries table with a column marked example.
Be careful about changing the table.
Okay, I'll reconsider that. Huh?
Rather use a bit, you know, just put more text in the cell, I think. The reason I'm saying that is then we want to, Liz really, because of her short window, is going to need to do a lot of cut and pasting. And if there's some change to what you see there, that format is the format that is going to be in the new TLD report.
Okay, then we can just add text to the cell in the column reserve name category.
That's correct. And if for some reason that becomes too difficult, let's talk about it. Email or whatever and get Liz involved and make sure that if we do anything different, we have her concurrence before we do that.
I don't think that will be too difficult.
Okay.
We have exceptional people on our committee.
I've already started doing that, so I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, I figured we were because you and I have been exchanging messages with Liz and so forth. So, okay,
yes.
Good.
Well, Patrick is keeping us on the straight and narrow in terms of both content
now,
and process.
Yeah, good. Appreciate that, Patrick. Now, how close is your subgroup in reaching rough consensus, whatever that means? Let's not go back there. Okay. On the various recommendations, which ones are you fairly close on? Which ones are the most challenging?
I think we're close on nearly all of them. I think the IDN ones, just because that portion is lagging a little bit, as we've paid attention to the ASCII section more and had our technical experts dealing primarily with the ASCII issues. Mm-hmm. That one's come along further. I would say really on every other one of them, you know, subject to kind of, you know, honoring the process and making sure that even our minority view holders, you know, feel, you know, satisfied with the process, mm-hmm. I think we're really very close.
Now, are there any major areas of disagreement?
I don't think so. I think there, you know, some discussion around the all but closed issue of CC or two-letter number combinations, or rather two ASCII letters at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't even call that open, because if I do, I'll get thumped.
You don't want to get thumped.
No, no, and rightly so. And so I really is only the IDN area. So at this point, I don't see, and subject to the correction from my subcommittee members, based on our call yesterday, I think we're very close, and a lot of what's left really is process rather than discussion or wrestling.
Okay. I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a comment, too.
Okay. All right. Marilyn, and then Alistair.
Sure, and then I may follow Alistair again, because my first question is, and I'm sorry I was away for just a moment, we did have a question that I think we hadn't resolved but just needed to verify, didn't we, about the order of the dash? And I'm not saying that's a disagreement. I just didn't know if we had mentioned that.
That's correct, Marilyn. We did, in considering the, at least at the second level, you know, we really need to consider the hyphen as an allowed character, or the dash as an allowed character, and consider that as well in combinations of letters and numbers at the second level.
Except at the in the first and last character position.
Well
since there's only one or two characters, it's always going to be in the first or last.
Yeah, and so that's why we needed to just, I think it's worth just mentioning, because Chuck is on and Edmund is on. The example that I thought we talked about was at the top level, dash, letter dash, digit dash, letter dash, digit, and there's an RFC that does prohibit the placement of the dash, does it not?
Yes. I can't tell you what RFC it is, but Edmund referred to the concept earlier,
right.
And that is that you can't have a dash in the first or the last position of a domain name.
When we were going, this is Aubrey, when we were going through the discussions, we acknowledged the first position. We weren't positive. In fact, we were acting as if the last position was possible. So it may just be going back to that RFC and confirming that both first and last position are problematic, in which case I think it becomes a moot point.
Yeah,
I think
right.
In our discussions, we got halfway there.
We
all knew that first position was a problem. I don't think any of us were aware that last position was a problem, but that's easy to check if it's in an RFC.
I'm not an RFC expert, but I know that that's a principle we've been using within VeriSign since as long as I've been involved.
Yeah, and I thought I remembered it as well, but we were, as Aubrey said, we began to engage in circular debate.
Okay, all right.
Chuck, this is Mike. I actually have to leave to catch a plane in about 5 minutes. If I could just get in the queue after Aubrey on this issue.
Would it be okay, Greg, if we jump to geographic and come back, and I've got Marilyn in the queue, Alistair in the queue. Marilyn and Alistair, are you okay with that? Greg, are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Then let's jump then, Mike, to geographic and the same things. We won't have as much time if you've got to get off in 5 minutes, but let's go for it.
Okay. Basically, just to give us an update, as you were aware, we finished our list of, if you will, questions that have been sent out to experts. What we're, if you will, now are trying to tackle is to take the previous recommendations, sync them up with the GAC final draft principles, and prepare a report. That should be done, I would say, by the end of the week. So we should have it in the template by then. Right now, I don't see any shift within the group to potentially deviate from the original recommendations, which does create a potential inconsistency with the draft GAC principles that talk about assigning, providing governments rights and gross in connection with their names. So part of what we will have to do is explain, if you will, acknowledge what they've said and potentially state why we think there should be a different outcome as opposed to their recommendation. Now, consistent with that, we've actually asked the GAC to explain their differences because governments in other fora have taken, if you will, opposite positions. So, you know, we're not going to try to explain those differences. We'll ask the GAC if they could perhaps explain it, but we will just look at what has been stated in different fora and put forth our reasoning for what we feel is the best way forward.
Okay. Now, Mike, what about the IDN area? How are you dealing with that?
I have not even with IDN, I'll have to go back and look. That is, we've primarily been focused on ASCII most of our work.
Now, it may be that whatever you're recommending works for IDN too, but make sure you give that some thought and investigation there to make sure, because we have to cover that area as well.
Okay, so that's it. And if I can just, I do have one question for Greg and his group here on the single letters, and that's where I was originally trying to get into.
Oh, just before you ask that question, let's make sure that we see if anybody's got any questions or input on geographic.
I do, but I know Mike has limited.
Go ahead, Marilyn. Shoot.
It's Marilyn speaking. I may end up filing and I'll try to talk to you offline, Mike, when you have time. I may end up filing a minority statement, Chuck, I'm not on that subgroup, but on the issue of geographic names. But I'll talk to Mike ahead of time.
Okay, good.
And put it this way, that's actually, I actually may be filing a minority reporting in connection with the single top-level domain. So I guess, there
sounds,
you go,
sounds
Marilyn.
Sounds fair.
Sounds fair. And as I said, Marilyn, if I can, I guess my question really just, with
Greg,
the single letter.
Greg's chairing the single letter.
Correct. And I'm just saying, I'm looking at his recommendation that say that the single letters should continue to be reserved. So
okay.
I'm not saying.
All right. Now, Mike, one of the things, and I'm going to say this, I won't repeat this for all the working groups, but for next week's meeting that Marilyn is chairing, and it's on a Thursday, okay, please send to the list by at least end of the day Wednesday a list, the little table from the template that has where you're at on your recommendations, so everybody can have that in front of them for this same, similar type discussion that's going to occur next week. Does that make sense? Okay, and that'll greatly facilitate this because, and then the group can go through and we can see overall where there, you know, where tweaks are needed or where maybe the full group is not going in the same direction as the subgroup, whatever things we need to know so that last week of work we can zero in on those things and make sure we're finished. Okay? And that applies to every one of the subgroups. So, Edmund, if you would make sure that Mike knows that as well, I'd appreciate that. And I'll send something out in that regard too. Anything else on geographic and geopolitical? Okay, Mike. Then because you have to get off, I'll jump you in the queue with regard to single and two character and let you go ahead of Marilyn and Alistair.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Greg, here's my question. In bullet point 30 in Marilyn's draft summary report, she talks about there being potential stability issues with single-letter top-level domains. And she, or the notes talk about how those TLDs that were larger than three letters had some issues. I guess my question is, knowing what we know today, would we have used that back in 2000 to deny TLDs greater than three letters from being added to the route? Because what I'm struggling with here is the way the recommendations with single letters go is it's almost like, well, there needs to be more work, and I do have concerns about enhancing the infrastructure of developing countries as being a prerequisite. Because I don't, in this recommendation, it doesn't say who has to pay for that improvement, whether it's the registry operator, whether it's ICANN, whether it's somebody else. And I just look at these types of things as potentially impeding innovation. And instead of doing what ICANN has done, putting out statements to say, listen, here is a list of TLDs, and please design your applications to take this into account, I think that's important. And just one other data point that I did want to bring is, at the application level, right, there have been problems even with TLDs that are three letters. I've discussed with Jeff Newman, there are some software applications that when you try to order things, they do not acknowledge, if you will, .biz as a legitimate extension. They only look to .com.net, .org, and other things. So I just think that the recommendation with regard to single letters at the top level I have some reservations, and as I said, I will try to document them, just as Marilyn is going to document her issues. I will try to document them as well to you and perhaps to your subcommittee, so that we do have the potential to resolve them, and then if not, I'll just try to file a minority report. So
now, Mike, is some of the concern that you're talking about related to applications that haven't been updated in years? And I'm not talking about major applications, but it might be in an ISP software or whatever, or some little player software that just hasn't updated their software in years, and therefore there's an impact on them for things like this. Is that part of what you're talking about?
I think so. I'm just worried, just seeing what the new TLDs, both the new three letters in 2000 as well as those that were in excess of three, the problems that they encountered. There were problems, but just because there were problems does not mean that under this standard, since they could have called quote-unquote stability issues, this standard applied back in 2000, if we knew what we knew today, could have potentially been used to prevent them from being added to the root. So I think instead of saying they should continue to be reserved, is maybe perhaps ICANN should try one out. And part of the allowing someone to try one out should be, what is your proposal to increase education, to develop infrastructure? Yes.
Can I refer you over to 46 through 50, I think that actually addresses the points you're raising.
Okay.
What do you mean by 46 through 50?
Oh, sorry, just on that document, the paragraphs that are numbered 46 through 50.
Oh, okay.
But the point is, this is Aubrey, that was a discussion that is ongoing, is broken application software sufficient reason to prevent something, and that's an open discussion that we had both with the experts and among ourselves.
Okay. And as I said, Marilyn, I appreciate that document. It was very helpful. Since I wasn't able to participate in the call, I was just able to just glance through that while Greg was doing his report. And as I said, I think the work of this group is really excellent, and I appreciate it. It was just, as I said, some of the what are appearing in the recommendations as opposed to what appears down in 46 and 50, I guess trying to sort of sync them up, I guess that's my concern, that those that appear in 46 and 50 actually should somehow be some more incorporated back up into the top. So, listen, I have to run. I am now late. Thank you, Chuck, for allowing me to jump, and I apologize to Alistair and to Aubrey.
And to Marilyn. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Okay, now we're back in the queue for single and two-character. And Marilyn, I think you were next. You still want to be in the queue, Marilyn?
Oh, sorry. I thought Alistair was next.
Oh, I had him down. I had you down before him. Did you already get your comments in?
Oh, my comment about single letter, I still wanted to make. Mike kind of actually pointed people to one of the issues. I think at some point, Chuck, and I think we should do it with you in the chair, is we ought to talk about what the full reserve name working group proposes on at is low-hanging fruit versus need a ladder to reach the fruit versus need an extension ladder to reach the fruit. And, you know, if there is further work to be done on in a number of areas, what does the working group think the priority is when they put forward their recommendation into full task force report?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it may be that may be a difficult. I think it's okay for us to attempt that. We'll see whether we can have enough time to pull that off in terms of providing priorities to the additional work that we may recommend. We can certainly try. Okay. Alistair.
Thanks, Chuck. I just wanted to raise an issue or a sort of a comment in terms of approach. It seemed to me that with particularly single letters at the top level, that potentially possibly numbers as well, is that a one-size-fits-all approach may be simpler, but if an approach was taken where there were specific conditions in relation to release of particular types of TLD, so for example, a single letter, you could, and my example would be, you could perhaps only release a single character or single letter TLD if there was a prohibition on single characters at the second level. I guess, the question I was really raising is, should we be taking a one-size-fits-all approach and say, this should be reserved, there are no issues, or this shouldn't be reserved, there are no issues, or this should be reserved because there are issues? Or should we be taking an approach, here are some issues, but here is a way you can solve those issues?
Well, my own personal response to that, and I'm just one member of this group, okay, and the fact that I'm chair doesn't give me any more voice than anybody else, okay, but I like what you said in the latter part. I think that's a more sensible approach. Bottom line is you can always find issues with just about anything, okay?
Yeah.
If the issues can be mitigated in reasonable ways, and not even in perfect ways, then it might be okay to go another direction. And that, I guess, is somewhat related to what Mike's saying. You can be so restrictive in terms of what you allow that there's no innovation and it's very cumbersome. Or you can find some middle ground where there's some reasonableness, and I personally lean towards the latter.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I want to be back in the queue and say something about the... It occurs to me very often, though, and I know we're in the reserve name working group, but it occurs to me very often that we're spending a huge amount of time on whether or not names that are presently on reserve are going to be able to be proposed by someone as a top-level string. I hope, ultimately, that there are a lot more interesting names and that, you know, we all go back to the idea that the process is going to be about the introduction of not just names that are previously on reserve.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. Alistair, were you finished?
I think so. I guess, yes. But just what I was trying to sort of suggest is it seems to me that there are potentially solutions to some of these problems that are not one size fits all. And I guess that does come at the cost of complication. And, for example, if you were going to, say, prohibit single character names at the second level, if you're going to permit them at the top level, that's just for those single character TLDs, then, you know, that might be fine for those TLDs, but for everything else, you could take a different approach. And that may make enforcement difficult, may have other consequences. I just sort of wanted to raise it as it is a potential solution, but it may be a complicated solution.
From a totally pragmatic point of view, especially considering the technical community, whatever that means, I'll let you define it however you want, is it less realistic that there's going to be a lot of problems with opening up single letters at the second level than there will be if they're opened up at the top level.
So let me see if I understand this. Are you asking, will the technical community who may have a view about this, will they think there are more problems at the top level than the second level, or vice versa?
Yes.
I can only speak to the technical folks I've spoken to, both formally and informally, who at this point seem to think there's a greater problem at the top level.
And you were probably way ahead of me in terms of what my thinking is there, Marilyn. But what I'm getting at it is, you know, we could go for the tougher one, okay, and then just get shut down, or we could be pragmatic and go for the more realistic one.
Yeah.
I'm not telling the working group which
sure.
way to go. I'm just saying.
Yeah. this is Aubrey. Could I comment on what Marilyn said?
And sure, Aubrey.
And this is Greg. I'd like to be in the queue
okay,
as well.
Okay, Aubrey and Greg.
Yeah, and Chuck, I just want to offer a clarification. I can do it after that. Well, actually, I'm going to ask it as a question. Or, because I put it in the original set of questions, I think it's in the original statement of work, and that is, you know, let's say you continue a reservation for now, what is the process at which you would revisit a reservation, and what is the what would trigger the revisiting of a reservation?
Right. Okay, Aubrey.
Yeah, I guess I got a different impression. Maybe Marilyn's been talking to different technical folks than I've been talking about to. The impression I got was that the problem of, or that there were no problems at either the single, I mean, for the single at either top or second, that the problem case is when they're both single letter.
Right.
And that whether one or t'other is a problem is equal, because it's only if the other one is. And so at that point, it's the 1535 problem that we were talking about before that we need to confirm. And if there is a 1535, then there is possibly a policy constraint that if you're single at one, you're not at the other, but that it's equal.
Okay, good. By the way, I'm just really strongly impressed with the work you guys are doing. So great work. Greg?
I guess my only comment would be that while I think there is, you know, as so far indicated, less of an issue with regard to single letters at the second level than there is single letters at the top level, that's certainly related primarily to the relative nature of the issue between the two, and I'm not quite as convinced as some that there are significant issues at the top level, based on what we've heard from our technical experts, and it may not be a binary choice as to which one we recommend. Although I think that, you know, given essentially the lack of significant problems, or lack of even of any thought of a significant problem with single letters at the second level, you know, it would certainly lead one, if one had to make an either-or decision, to go towards single letters at the second level and not towards single letters at the top.
Yeah, and I should probably clarify, Chuck, when I say that I think there are going to be technical community concerns, my conversations have not been limited to it only being a technical problem. I think there are some other concerns that have been raised by some other parties about the allocation of single letters, in particular at the top level, that may be a small p policy question that our technical, the two folks we consulted with, technical experts, were not trying to address that.
Okay. Now let me ask you guys, and we're going to need to move on here pretty soon, but let me ask anybody from the committee, and Greg, you can start if you want, but I'm curious whether you think it's going to be realistic to actually come up with a firm recommendation with regard to single character, single letters, or it's more likely that you're going to end up, there's still going to be some work needed after our working group.
Well, I don't want to prejudice the work of the working group since we are still discussing these. However, I think that for single letters at the second level, I don't think we're going to have much of a problem coming up with a recommendation. I think that for single letters at the top, there's going to be a little bit more of a process, again, because of what I mentioned at the very beginning of this, which is that single letters at the top are more likely, relatively more likely to cause a technical issue if there are single letters allowed at the second level, and relatively less likely to cause a technical issue if there aren't single letters allowed at the second level, and if that disallowance can be enforced.
Good. Well, we probably ought to move on. That's not critical that we answer that question. It was mostly curiosity on my part. Again, I compliment everybody on this working group with the tremendous work you're putting into this, and it's very, very impressive. Okay, let's move on then to GTLD names at the second level. Ray.
I'm here.
You're on, and
okay.
You know the structure we're following. Start out with expert consultation and move on down the list.
Right, right. And it's important to appreciate for this particular reserve name category, we are relying on the technical expert opinion provided by the RSTEP that there's not concern to TLD.TLD, because if there was, then this would obviously be automatically continued as a reserve name category. So understanding that, the subgroup has had two calls in the last few days, Edmund, Patrick, and myself. Today it was also broached on the registry constituency call. Regarding the fact that the subgroup has reached what we consider to be a preliminary recommendation and now want feedback from the registry constituency members, for example, on the preliminary recommendation. That should be going out to the constituency today, hopefully, yet, if not tomorrow for sure. And what we're focusing in on in terms of the recommendation right now is...
Hold on before you go there, Ray.
Yep.
Last week we talked about reaching out to some non-registry users as well. Has anything happened in that regard?
Well, first I think we need to get our hands around what the recommendation is and that there's going to be support from the registry constituency members for the recommendation of the subgroup. And once we have that in hand, then we want to take it out farther. I know we're under a bit of a time constraint.
Yeah, it may not work, in fact, if you wait for that, especially if you're waiting for feedback from registries. Even though it may not be the most desirable, you may need to do them in parallel.
Right, but the subgroup has taken the position as well that the primary affected parties with this particular reserve name category are the registry operators.
I understand that, but would that prevent you from sending some feelers out to some other, groups like the ALAC or something to see if they see a point of confusion or whatever the issue may be. I just don't want us to forget some suggestions that were made last week.
Right.
Or to all the constituencies plus the ALAC?
Yeah, sure.
Right. We do see validity in that, and this was specifically discussed amongst the subgroup. We just think it might be premature to go out before we have something we feel can actually be a recommendation, given our time constraints.
Ray, it's Marilyn. Can I just give you the other side of that and ask you to take it in consideration? Alistair's on the call from the BC as well as Neil and myself. We can't turn it around overnight from a constituency. We at least need to give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them that something is coming in order to involve the membership.
Right, and one thing to keep in mind, too, and we were definitely sensitive to that, but one thing to keep in mind is that this particular category does not pose a lot of the issues that exist in some of the other categories. So I thought it might be worthwhile just to share now what we are focusing on.
Go ahead.
In the recommendation to kind of give you a flavor of where we're at. And what we're focusing in on is right now the contractual condition requires approval by ICANN if a registry operator wants to release a GTLD string at the second level. And what we focused in on is that it's really not proper, or we feel as a recommendation that it's probably not a good idea for ICANN to be in that position of approving, that instead it makes more sense as a recommendation to have a situation where ICANN is simply being notified that a GTLD string is being unreserved at the second level. So it's really a minor nuance, taking ICANN out of the position of approval to a position of simply being notified under certain conditions of the unreserving of a GTLD at the second level.
But couldn't you propose that as a propose your draft recommendation, acknowledging that it's not even the subgroup hasn't totally finalized it, and send that out just for comment to the six constituencies and the ALAC, and ask them if they get you some feedback in a week if there's any big issues with that or concerns, and ask them to be specific. I mean, what do you really lose by that?
I think it would be stronger. It might be stronger. I'm thinking out loud.
I'm sure it would be stronger, Ray. I'm not arguing with you that. But if a week from now, it's too late. I mean, it's just the reality that we're dealing with. And I think it's better to do it with some chance of getting responses than to delay it for perfect circumstances and not get the responses back in time.
You know, I'll just support that, because, Ray, I think it's likely to cause more debate when the council is looking at the final report, because people are going to feel that they haven't participated in reviewing this within their constituency ahead of time.
This is Patrick. I guess I have a question.
Go ahead.
Not speaking on behalf of, as a member of the subgroup, but just generally, is the reasoning to send this out to the different supporting organizations just so everyone feels like they've had a chance to be included in the consideration of this, or is it really because we feel like, there are other parties impacted by this particular contractual provision?
I think the latter one's the stronger one, but the reality of the matter is that Marilyn's point's right, is that if there has been some vetting of some of these things, but we're really not doing that in a lot of the others either, because there's so much work to be done, so we could argue that point, but it will be easier to get these things through if, in fact, we've solicited some input and listened to input that we get from other places. Again, though, Patrick, I say that the primary reason is to find out whether they really care, whether there really is impact to other people besides registries. I, for one, of course, I'm a registry, as you know, or I'm a member of a registry. Think that the primary impact is to registries, but I do agree that there's possible impact to other users, and just giving them a chance to identify it, they may all come back and say, not a big issue for us, but it'd be nice to know that.
Okay.
All right. Ray, what else you got?
I'm thinking about all that.
Go ahead. I know how your mind works.
Okay.
You and I have gone back and forth on lots of these things.
Right. GAC principles, for example, we definitely are siding on the recommendation, obviously, to avoid user confusion with any such release of GTLD names at the second level.
And you'll refer to that GAC principle or GAC principles when you do that, right?
Right. Now,
how about IDN?
Yeah, IDN. There are not IDN right now at the top level, so it's difficult to address that particular one. And in other words, there are no IDN reserved at the second level because there are none at the top level.
Could they be going forward?
We feel that IDN falls within the same parameters as ASCII. So whatever recommendation works for ASCII can work for IDN.
Well, let's think about some examples, because one of the things, and this is before you joined the working group, but we did the consultation with Tina and Rom on the phone, and then Carrie's participated in some other exchanges and so forth. But one of the points made with regard to ICANN and IANA and www, Nick, and who is that we shouldn't go down a path of trying to translate or transliterate acronyms or abbreviations or, special terms like who is, because they just may not be possible in some scripts. At the same time, there may be some examples. Let's take .museum, for example, where it's actually a word, and it's a little bit different case. I'm not sure it's as simple as just concluding that whatever works for ASCII works for IDNs. That certainly doesn't seem to be the case with ICANN, IANA names, with www, Nick, and who is, and based on the expert consultation. And you may want to look at that consultation in those. The www one I sent out today, there's some comments there, but you can look back in the some other of the original subgroup reports or the main report to get some of that information. I think some of those issues are related to, and I mean, like, for example, jobs is another one that you're involved with in terms of, depending on what your recommendation is, should that same recommendation apply that an IDN translation or dot job should work? I'm not asking you to answer that.
But let me try to answer that. Actually, I think, and Patrick Edmund can chip in, I don't think we're looking at translations. If the IDN exists at the top level, then the question becomes, can the registry operator unreserve that IDN at the second level? I don't think we're going down the path of translations.
Okay. I'm just raising the question so that make sure that we're as complete as possible in the subgroup report.
Right. I appreciate that. That's the comment. Edmund, did you want to share that?
I think that's thinking from my side as well. Until it is a GTLD, it won't be a GTLD related a reservation, right? So it has to be delegated into the root, and then that's within the scope of the discussion for this particular subgroup. So with that view, I mean, IDN shouldn't really be a separate item, and would pretty much apply. And in the cases of translation that you mentioned, you know, those would be taken care of with other items like confusable stuff.
Okay.
Just to add to that, and this is Patrick, the contractual language for the new agreements has a link to an IANA page that's dynamic. So as new TLDs are added to the root, they appear on that IANA list. And, as IDNs are added in the future, they will also be added to that list. And so that would be the list that the reservation requirement is based on.
Okay.
It wouldn't be on translations, but that, as Edmund said, it would be part of the confusability issue.
Okay. Anything else on this category by anybody in the working group? Okay, let's go on to controversial names.
Okay. On controversial names, trying to get it together here. I've got too many windows open also.
And me too.
Okay, on controversial names, one of the things I have taken your template and started to fill it in. We had one meeting. We've got another one scheduled for next week before the meeting of the third, though, the same day. We went through, we have not consulted with any experts yet, though there is going to be at least an email consultation with the usual suspects in IDN. We reviewed the GAC principles with regard to controversial names, came up with at least one issue specifically that in that the current recommendations speak about non-consensus issue brought up by an advisory committee. And so in that we're wondering, well, what happens if an advisory committee or a few governments within the GAC have a dispute, have an issue? Now, within the GAC principles, we talk about, they talk about expresses formal concerns and that the board should deal with them. But if we're putting together a dispute resolution, we need to take into account the possibility that those things should be dealt with earlier in the process and not have to wait for the board. So that's one consideration that needs to be dealt with. That brought up another issue when thinking about that one, which was, and this is in the dispute resolution process, how are disputes by non-ICANN bodies to be dealt with? And that's an open issue that needs to be discussed some more. We haven't gotten anywhere on that one yet. Basically just brought it up as an issue that needs to be dealt with. In terms of the dispute resolution process, I believe that Marilyn and Tamara are working on a first draft of it that the group will then discuss on email and such. By the way, I am in the process of putting both all these notes and the template within Google Docs so that other members of the group can in real time either use email or the Google mechanism for that. We use the Google mechanism, I think, to good advantage in the who is, and since it's one that nobody has to install anything for, just decided to go with it. We did not see any necessity to do any specific consultation with the GAC at this point. I think that, I'm not sure, but that the issues were covered adequately. They gave us clues on how to interpret. We did talk about the fact that if any issues did come up that needed clarification, the approach we might take is to contact, you know, one or two of the GAC mensals, for example, you know, the chair of the group, or something to basically get their viewpoint on an interpretation, if that needed. The dispute name list, which is something that we need to look at, is something that would be a byproduct of the dispute process, and that's being looked at. As I said, the dispute process is going to be looked at, and that would include all of that. Now, incorporating any relevant comments from the IDN working group. As people probably saw, this was my personal comment, not the group's comment, basically looked into, my comment was, well, that's automatically dealt with at a higher level than these controversial names, than the dispute process. However, in thinking about it afterwards, still a personal opinion, or a personal question that I've now sent to the group, is looking at controversial names and disturbingly similar or confusingly similar, is what happens when you have something that is either on the disputed list or potentially on the disputed list, but you're not using the word that would be there, but, for example, you're using the brand FCUK. Now, that is confusingly similar, perhaps, for some people, disturbingly similar for others. Is that something that, by extension of the similarity rule, one needs to worry about when talking about controversy? Because, I mean, we've seen quite a movement in terms of people using something that puts you in mind of something controversial without actually being it. And that's just an issue that I've just sort of brought up, and I'm throwing it out to the group so that other people can think about it too. So this is basically me disagreeing with me, who said first, no issue here, and then all of a sudden going, but wait a second. So that's that on that. Let me see if there's anything. So we're basically in our meeting.
Oh, this is Greg. I'd just like to get in the queue on this.
Okay,
Greg.
Do
you want to jump in right now?
Okay, I guess I was say with regard to say.
That's okay with Aubrey. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With regard to FCUK.com, you know, raises another issue, or that's a trademark. That's actually, yes, and it is a domain resolve. So
right, I know that that one's a trademark, and so that becomes actually an interesting multiple issue in terms of, well, here somebody is prevented from having a trademark because it's confusingly similar to something that's controversial. And that's a whole issue that we haven't gotten into.
And I would also be concerned about the term confusingly similar, since that's a term of art in the trademark world and involves a particular set of analytics.
Yeah, but I want to jump in as well. I thought Aubrey and Chuck and everyone out here should spot me on this. I thought that actually there's a different process to deal with trademark conflicts.
That's my understanding.
Right. I guess my point here is that we have something here which, even if it weren't a trademark, may or may not be similar. And on top of that, if we have a trademark that could be considered a controversial name, it's kind of getting double whammied. And I would note that while the U.S. trademark law prohibits offensive, I'm not sure exactly, I can't cite exactly the standard that they use, that they prohibit the registration of offensive terms, but FCUK is in fact registered. So, whatever our test is, we have to watch out that we somehow haven't become even more conservative than we should be, or there is at least a possibility here for somebody who has a very elevated sense of the controversial to shut things down more broadly than need be. So there's a slippery slope problem here.
Well, I think the whole I think that's part of the whole controversial names issue, is that it starts on that slippery slope. And we've got to be very careful. I think just basically having been forced to think about it, about the IDN, and I think it is an important thing for us to consider outside of these separate groups that we haven't really gotten to, is in many cases we may have several categories at the same time. And as we could have something that is a trademark and is controversial, we could have something that's controversial and geographic and two letters or three. And in other words, that was just an issue that forcing me to think about the IDN issue and the confusingly similar basically brought us. But indeed, I agree. I mean, I tend to be a minimalist in terms of, and this is personally, I tend to be a minimalist in terms of exclusion of controversy.
Right. I guess I would also kind of pick up the fallen banner of Victoria McEvity, perhaps.
Right.
Be concerned about, freedom of expression issues here and the fact that, tolerating unpopular expression is very much a part of the basis of certain countries and very much antithetical to the social institutions of other countries. So it's kind of a question of whose controversy are we going to worry about? I mean, for instance, I've been here checking dirtyjew.com. It resolves. I'm not particularly happy about that. Fuck.com also resolves. I mean, how far are we going to go in saying that this should be kind of a PG world of domain names?
And that's one of the ones that I think expresses that in that other issue that was brought up into who has, I'll use the word standing, though I'm sure that there's a proper definition that I'm not quite good enough to use, who has standing other than advisory committees in the dispute process, and that's something that has yet to be dealt with.
Yeah.
So
I think we mentioned that in that, yes, exactly, and what's the standard?
And those are things that we still need to deal with.
I think to paraphrase Voltaire, I might come out with a minority statement, or maybe it won't be the minority statement, that I disapprove of the domain that you wish to register, but I will defend to death your right to register.
If it's a minority, I'm obviously with you on that personally. So I don't know where we're at on consensus. We've definitely been very agreeable in our conversations. We've had one. We have not had a lot on the net yet. And yes, there's only a week and a plus to go, but we've got a ways to go yet.
Okay. Aubrey, and I know you're still working on IDNs and even doing some consultations still on that, but so if there was a controversial word in name, a controversial name in ASCII, would the corresponding controversial name would it also be controversial in another script if it was translatable? and vice versa. I'm not asking you to answer that. I'm throwing that out just as I'm sure you've already thought of,
right. Well, one of
the issues with IDNs.
One of the things that we did bring up is how do you, in the dispute resolution process, how do you deal with the language / cultural communities that IDN brings into all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's being thought about and investigated.
Does anyone else in the full working group have, or one of the group working group subgroup members as well, have anything to ask or add in this regard?
Well, I'm just what Tamara and I are doing is we're looking at the RSTEP process and examining it for learning as a possible approach to drafting a process. So if there are, but if other people have other ideas about what we should look at.
Please?
I know we would, but we would welcome
Please
hearing
send
that.
Them your way, right?
Send them our way.
Okay.
There was sort of a presumption that, you know, the RSTEP process is something that ICANN knows is a well-formed process, and so it does seem to make sense that any dispute process that we come up with should look at that as a model to build on.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be asking the RSTEP process to handle it. It would
right.
be a parallel process.
Oh, Lyman would love that.
I would. Been a friend for a long time, and that might end that friendship.
Okay. Well, now let me remind. Okay, so chairs in particular, but all the working group members should be aware of this. Not later than Wednesday of next week, in other words, a week from today, submit to the RN list the table of your recommendations as close to final as it can be. It doesn't have to be totally final, but as close as you can. If you have a couple choices you're looking at, put both choices in there for right now. That will greatly facilitate a similar discussion like we've had today next Wednesday, except a lot further along than where we're at today, and the goal will be to get maximum feedback from the full working group so that as you do your final touches to your report and in particular your recommendations, you have a good sense that the full working group is going to support those and we won't have any surprises in the last couple days. Any questions on that? Okay, we're down to the last two or three minutes, and let me give you a very quick update on action items for Liz and I. As you know, I sent out, we made a decision on the symbols in reserved names. That's going to be part of the single two-character. Tag names, I sent out a very near final version of that. Please try and review that in the next 7 days and send out any comments or not. We'll probably just assume that it's okay if we don't hear any comments on that or concerns. We don't want to spend a lot of time on those things that are pretty well done. The main place in these reports, like tag names and Nick who is in www, to look at is the rationale part, item 2 at the very end. The rationale part is, I know in these, is where I added some verbiage. Make sure what I added is okay there. So both of those have been sent out. I need examples still that are being provided to me, some IDN examples. For the tag names report. Third level names, I still have that one to work on. I probably will work on that this afternoon and tomorrow. And other names at the second level, the same thing. Those are things that aren't going to be part of our main recommendations part, but a separate part of the report. We've taken care of the definition of reserved names and Liz has organize the basic total working group report as specified there in agenda item 9B2, and we'll be adding to that in terms of, I mean, filling in information on that. Subgroups, you're incorporating the GAC principles and the new TLD recommendations as applicable. And Liz did send off a message to the FSAC regarding security and stability issues of our previous recommendations. The annex that Philip Shepard had recommended be created, having an alphabetical list of all reserved names, that's something that we can pull together, at least for those that are lists of names, towards the end there. Report format, you've got the template. Any questions on that, please remember to let me know, or let Liz know, or both of us. Any special needs for any of the subgroups? Okay. It would be helpful if you can by Tuesday, May 1st, although it's a holiday in Europe, so, you know, a little slippage in that wouldn't be good. If you'd like a format check on the status, even however incomplete it is, of the subgroup report, send them to Liz or me, and we'll be glad to do it. I won't be quite as able to do that next week, but I will have some access and be able to be online quite a bit next week. The action items for next week, I think we've covered those. Obviously, consider the feedback you received today in your subgroup work. Try and be as close to final recommendations as you can by next Wednesday, and get those to the list for total group feedback next Wednesday. Be ready to describe, you know, again, the agenda next week will be very much like what we did today. Follow the same format for updates from each subgroup. And I'll probably get that agenda out at the latest tomorrow, but it shouldn't be any surprise, because you're other than a few little tweaks, it's going to be what we went through today, except we should be able to do it even more finely next week. We need to be able to do it more finely next week. And Liz and I will continue to incorporate stuff that's completed into the main report. As I send out these reports on things that we didn't form a subgroup for, make sure you take a look at them quickly, see if there's any problems, let us know so that we can finalize those without taking a lot of time of live meetings as we go through that. I think that's it. Is there anything else? My compliments again to fantastic work going on. What you guys are doing is really what makes this thing work. And so my thanks and sincere compliments in that regard. I will be in touch in the list next week, even though I won't be able to participate in the meeting. Have a good day.
Bye, Chuck. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.